Sir, if AGP is ready, didn't want to jump the gun there.
They're good to go. All right, I'll call the Los Osos Space and Management Committee Board of Directors meeting to order. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Rob, will you lead us in a roll call?
Yes, I would. Director Cody, and let the record reflect that I did get communication from S&T for both Director Cody and the alternate, and neither were able to make it today, but they did review the agenda. They're aware of what's going on, but they will be here at the next meeting. And then we'll go Director Sasania.
Finally here.
Great. Director Gibson.
Here.
And for today, Chairperson Zimmer.
Here.
Wonderful.
All right. Item 4, board member comments. Are there any comments from the board?
None.
And outside of other items we'll talk about.
Okay. Moving on to the consent agenda. On the consent agenda, we have approval of July 17 minutes and approval of the warrant budget and invoice register through August 2019.
Yeah, no additional staff comments on that. Same type of package that you're accustomed to.
Okay. Any comments from the board members on the consent agenda? I have one comment on the agenda pertaining to item 7A, but I'm not going to pull it from the agenda. Just want to note that we'll be talking about it in more depth during this meeting, so I'll bring my comment during that time. So therefore, no comments. Are there any public comments on the agenda or consent items? Seeing none, bring it back to the board.
Move approval of consent.
Second.
All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, moving to item 6, Executive Director Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is to supplement my written report. So as we discussed in the last few meetings, we continue to look at opportunities for funding outside of the Basin Management Committee, and so we'll be tracking programs going forward. In fact, we'll be up at DWR next week to discuss our Program A project at the 8th Street well, hopefully to push that funding over the finish line and finally get that locked in for construction of that project. We can go through that a little more in item 7A if desired. Sort of kicked off several meetings ago, Director Gibson asking for more clarity and for staff-level discussions on how to proceed with funding on those projects that don't currently have a funding plan or a firm schedule. Since our last meeting, there's been two staff-level meetings which were productive, and those are continuing. The goal is to have like a one-page schedule and funding summary for every project that's not currently funded, and those would be Program B projects, a discussion of Program D, and then anything remaining on Program C. Just to remind folks that Programs A and C are essentially funded right now. In going on to some of the detail of those discussions, one of the things that we're talking about is how to fund county share of administration after the year 2020. That's the same year that you're doing that final phase of your groundwater sustainability agency funding that the county is doing throughout the area. And so after 2020, we're looking for an alternate funding source as contemplated in the stipulation to cover the county share. We do have some ideas on that are being discussed at the staff level, and we'll be hearing more about those in coming meetings. We also talked to some extensive degree about the basin infrastructure programs and how those may be funded. Don't have firm details to offer you today, but those staff-level discussions are continuing. And also about the other supplemental projects like creek discharge and stormwater recovery. One of the things that we thought was interesting, and we'll just bring it up here today, is that just to remind the community that the Basin Management Committee is, you know, a Brown Act group, but it is not an entity that can contract for ownership of facilities at this point. So we have such as the well that we're about to drill for monitoring that has to be owned by one of the members of this committee. And in the past, we've talked about forming a joint powers authority. And one of the things that we discussed in some detail at the staff level is that if Golden State Water Company did participate in a joint powers, they could do it one of two ways, either as a seated director, appointed director, or as an actual member, but they'd have to form a mutual water company and do some creative legal things in order to accomplish that. So one of the key takeaways is that the governmental form that would allow them to participate as a director should be an acceptable method. And also we talked about Program B and the ability for Golden State to expand their existing facility or build a new one, and the constraints that the PUC places on Golden State to be able to use any existing assets for future development. Those assets that are in place now were approved in a rate case targeted to existing customers, so there can't be this cross-collateralization of facilities for future development. So that was brought forth. And then Golden State also raised their hand and volunteered to prepare a simple operational agreement for the one asset that we're about to put into place, the monitoring well, so that they and all the members here would have access to that well for monitoring if they so desired. So that will come back in your November meeting. So that's a summary of staff-level discussions. Those are ongoing, and we're hoping to bring you more details in November. We provided you a brief update on the Los Osos Wastewater Project, nearly complete in terms of connections, only 57 properties remaining. We have not quite hit 500,000 gallons a day, so we might get there or might just stop just short. We did have a ribbon-cutting ceremony, which I think a number of you attended, at Sea Pines, which was great to see recycled water finally flowing into the urban area of the community. And Sea Pines has already received about 3.5 million gallons in July and 5.9 in August. So lots of recycled water flowing there so they can back off on their groundwater extractions or eliminate those extractions there on the west side. So that was good news. Cumulatively to date, about 320 acre-feet has gone to Broderson and 11 to Bay Ridge in terms of disposal. And I just wanted to note that kind of keeping track of key issues out there in the basin, we gave some detail on a cannabis project that's proposed east of Los Osos Creek, gave the DRC number and the assessor's parcel number, so if you're interested, you can pull up additional information. I've also provided some materials on the back that talks about their proposed retrofit program. They need to retrofit about 3.5 acre-feet per year, and at this point, they're contemplating doing that actually in the urban area. So even though it's an east side project on that side of the creek, the retrofit and offset is proposed in the urban core. So it's kind of a new thing that we're seeing here on the cannabis front, because in our county, cannabis is not agriculture. It's in a commercial industrial type use. So the details of that offset proposal, again, are on the back table. I can go into more specifics if you like, but I just want to make sure that remained on your radar screen. And if you desire to discuss that in detail or take any action, we could bring that back for an agenda, specifically agendized item. We went through our typical task list. Most of the tasks are moving along nicely and are actually on your agenda here today. The one task that we wanted to do in a set sequence is the El Morro Urban Stormwater Recovery. We wanted to get through the Los Osos Middle School test well process before we approach the school on that additional use of school property. And as we'll talk about on the next item, we've now gotten through that so we can initiate that dialogue. Not a lot new on the Sigma front. As of the writing of this report, and county may have an update. I didn't see County Public Works here. But the final determination of basin prioritization had not been published yet. So perhaps that's changed, but we do expect it to be as defined in the draft, which would be Los Osos area subbasin would be very low Sigma priority. So that, I think, concludes my entire written report, and I'd be happy to answer questions.
Are there any questions?
Yeah. Questions and a couple of comments. In terms of the staff interactions on looking forward toward financing and scheduling projects, which is going to be really important, there was also an effort underway, I know, at the county to look backward and try to figure out which entity of the committee has done what and spent what on previous projects, on existing projects. And I think I'd be interested to know when that backward look and the forward look might be ready to be vetted here at the committee in general.
Right. Some of that we actually reflected in the next agenda item, putting some spent dollar amounts on those projects.
Right.
So that was our attempt to look at the infrastructure side.
So that comes out of these recent discussions as to previous. Okay. The other meeting that we did have that I think was important and will inform a lot of things in the future is we did county staff met with Coastal Commission staff, introducing them to the Basin Management Plan and getting their engagement on figuring out how they're going to view the sustainability of the water system. I appreciate, Rob, your participation there.
Good meeting.
I think it'll be interesting to see how they react, because I don't think they have typically come across a basin that's had the detailed kind of work that this one's been done. And I think that the charge ahead is for us to really make sure they understand the analysis of the basin, the fact that we're operating at safe yield, the fact that new projects will actually raise the safe yield of the basin. For instance, denitrifying upper aquifer water, we'll be able to do that, and to wrap that all into the adaptive management plan so that we can get a reasonable amount of growth going in Los Osos under the new community plan, which is scheduled, we hope, to be in the hands of the Coastal Commission by about this time next year. Maybe we do have the HCP. Folks keep telling me it's going to show up in the Federal Register in the first week of October. I will bait my breath until I see that, and that's really really good. And then the only other comment that I'd make on the executive director's report is that, you know, the cannabis water offset thing is sort of interesting, because what it does effectively is move pumping east in the basin, which is consistent with what we're trying to accomplish in the big picture. So, I mean, I think the way they're trying to do that offset, if we can verify the actual offset of water, it's going to be a good thing. So we'll look forward to seeing how that one progresses. I don't see particularly a need for the Basin Management Committee to take that one up. I think that's all well handled within the county structure at this point. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay.
Is there, I guess I'd be curious about just how many proposals are coming through in terms of grows out in this area, and whether hemp is also a part of this picture that we're looking at, because that, from what I've heard, there could be a major new water use out there. And I do like the idea of exploring the urban offset, but I guess I would like more information about that.
Yeah, a lot of my information is either coming from county planning or from community members who are keeping me in the loop. So I don't know that I have a comprehensive picture there. And I'm trying to remember, and Director Gibson might know, if the county – hemp team and cannabis team are the same team now, or are those two separate groups?
Well, there's a cannabis enforcement group, and then the planners, I think, are dealing with all sorts of different projects.
They're cross-trained.
Hemp is regulated differently, although there's a ordinance in place banning new hemp grows for the foreseeable future. That probably will be out for at least another year, if not two. The one that's been referenced of an existing hemp grow that got in under the registration before the urgency ordinance took place, the commentary on that grossly overestimated the amount of water that 5 acres of hemp is going to take. We're in the process of developing a duty factor for hemp as part of the whatever regulation comes forward on hemp. But, you know, basic back-of-the-envelope calculations are it's no more than wine grapes, or about the same as wine grapes. And so, if you think about it, it's more like just another ag crop, you know, aside from the fact that four of my colleagues decided that there was an urgent reason to ban it. It really is treated more like it's a federally legal. It's under crops and crop production and grazing in the county land use plan. And so, you know, in terms of how we look at it, it's very much like any other crop that would be planted out in the east side of the basin. You know, how much more gets planted there, hard to say, but we'll see.
As we become aware, we're going to try to bring those applications forward. Just keep a running list if we're aware of them.
Well, we've chosen, and I think there's a reasonable, it brings up a reasonable question. We have chosen through the adjudication to exempt the agricultural properties out there. And the management, as it is right now, operates under an assumption of how much water they're using. I think it would not be unreasonable to start exploring what sorts of metering we might do. New wells in the coastal zone get a meter, and we have a mechanism for reporting that water use. So I guess my as I was thinking about this, I think my approach to this is just to see if we see an intensification of any kind of ag use out there, perfectly reasonable for us to start thinking about how we might more accurately characterize the amount of measure the amount of water. But this is the sort of lead in and sort of semi unexpected event that might help us move to a better approach to how we take care of the basin here.
Okay, thank you. Three quick comments regarding the funding for the projects and financing programs. You mentioned the staff discussions. Will that come back before the board and be in a presentation form? As I'm sure you're just roundtabling and coming up with ideas at this point, and then once some sensible structures developed, it'll come back as a presentation for the board. And at what time frame? How far out? You know, because I think we're talking through 2020, right?
Yeah. We really need to have a structure in place and time to get funding secured and flowing by the end of next year.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that even in the November meeting we'll have enough to perhaps have an agenda item to discuss a full status update, the things that we actually have concluded, like for if we're to accomplish a Program B project, there's momentum to shared ownership of that. What would that look like? And where could it possibly go, and what is its schedule and method of funding? I hope we can get there on at least that element.
Right.
And then as we reach at least staff level recommendations, we will bring those back and discuss them in detail and get committee input before moving on anything.
Okay, good. Yeah, because it kind of ties into the second question, the JPA, and, you know, We have a mechanism and examples of that type of structure and participation, but I think one of the things that we haven't fully determined is the necessity of it. So do we need to add that complexity and just another layer of governance out there that until we have those projects or identified that need, we really haven't moved in that direction, and I think that's where we're at today, you know, is that, yeah, okay, we have a better understanding, we can move forward with that, but when is the time to start working on that? Because there is going to be a little bit of time for Golden State, if the route is to form the mutual, there's going to be some time required to implement that. So it can't be something that we say, okay, we have a project, and then next month we're going to come back, or next meeting we're going to come back and we're going to start forming this GPA. Not sure exactly what that time frame is, but we can continue that in our conversation too.
Yeah, and I think dovetailing that with the community plan schedule is right. going to be important.
Okay.
So we don't end up with a big time gap and without a firm plan. I think that's the whole idea, is to firm up these understandings now so that we're ready to launch when those projects do get funded.
Right. And in addition to some of our projects in Category U that we're talking about, those types of things too. Regarding the facilities, yeah, that is a more difficult situation for Golden State to, you know, expand on our existing nitrate. Is the capacity there, and is it capable of doing that? We believe that physically is capable of happening, but can we do it through the regulated utility process is still yet to be determined. So,
all right, the one thing Golden State, of course, has going for it is it's got a site where that activity is occurring.
And
we've learned that having a location is quite important in this space, and it can be challenging to find locations.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's some options to explore there, definitely, with that site's large enough to even, do we add a second unit, or how do we curtail the operation there? The site is a favorable site, right?
Yeah.
With ongoing operations already moving brine and things of those things already taking place, okay, so I'll open it to the public for comment.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I'd like to make 4 points. First of all, and I've expressed this before, but I have concerns about any complex governance structure for this, this Basin Management Committee. The management needs of our basin are relatively simple, and I think that we can address them through not only the rates, which they've pretty much addressed programs A and C. We have the creek discharge, which I think is a good fit for future development, and I'll speak to that a little later on the agenda item. And then conservation, which I think can be privately funded. So I just don't think there's a lot of money. I don't think we need a JPA. I think we need to keep it simple. Secondly, I see that Sea Pines is receiving a treated effluent. I'd like to know how much Sea Pines is paying for that, and hopefully it covers the cost of treatment. Also, I see that the August deliveries to Sea Pines was about 42% of the daily effluent, approximately 200,000 gallons a day. And I realize that's a summer delivery and won't be constant throughout the year, but I do have concerns about sending too much money too much water that way. Thirdly, I note that the executive director's remarks about the water conservation update report that there have been no new rebates, not surprising, which I think speaks to the need to consolidate the conservation programs between the purveyors and the county and everyone involved. I think everybody would agree that conservation is needed, further conservation is needed, we can do it. We just need a program that functions for the consumer primarily. That's the challenge. And lastly, I have to take exception to remarks made by Mr. Gibson relative to hemp and cannabis in the valley. The basin management plan and the court stipulated judgment allows 800 acre feet for agriculture. And I would submit to you they're at that limit right now. They're at 800 acre feet per year. So you need to be, in my view, cognizant of that today It's a critical issue today, and I think it needs a full discussion. Because just in the case of the cannabis application, they're suggesting to perform retrofits within the urban area. I think this goes to that larger policy question of who's going to do what on either side of the creek. And I think that's a policy discussion this committee needs to have. And it then, in that context, it can view these various applications, whether they be cannabis or hemp. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff. Any other comments from the public? I'll bring it back to the board. Rob?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No specific responses there. I'm not sure what the financial arrangements are with respect to sea pines. And I do think those volumes will vary seasonally, mm-hmm. and August is probably the peak month where that type of use would occur. And I would expect there to be a much smaller annual average, but it's worth tracking, and we will be reporting on those volumes at every meeting. Okay. When you're ready, I'm ready for item 7A.
Okay, we'll need a motion to accept that into the record. Is that...
I think receive and file.
Receive and file.
Happens.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you. All right. We'll move to action item 7A. Update on the status of the basin planning infrastructure projects.
Thank you. And staff is always happy to actually report some action, and we do have some actions happening. This is just to supplement my written comments. I know you have all been waiting on the district's 8th Street Upper Aquifer well, and again, just to remind folks, we're going to DWR next week. That final ranking and awarding of those grant funds should be complete by the end of the year, with funds available by January of 2020, or at least the first quarter. We have bid-ready documents, permits in place. That well is ready to roll. And so we believe that will be out to bid at the end of the year. So that one is nearing completion. And hopefully a $250,000 worth of grant funds will make the wait worth it. We just do note that we've added some dollar figures to the various projects which are already completed, including the blending project that Golden State completed at Skyline and the nitrate removal facility. Those two representing about $2.3 million worth of Golden State investment. And certainly, even though that was really a Program A project, that blending project, the nitrate removal facility spans into Program B, which we mentioned before. We are finally off a dead center with the expansion well under Program C. And there's going to be, if you recall, a test well at Los Osos Middle School. The school was hesitant to grant that necessary right of entry. They have now done that. And those of you who reached out and helped explain and encourage, we really appreciate that. The school district board did act on that and granted us that right of entry. And now that bidding is out on the street and that project is out to bid. And we're intending to actually drill that test well this year before I finish my tenure, and get some results there. So by December, we hope to have an answer with what is available for Program C at the Los Osos Middle School site. So great to see progress on that. Thank you for your help. Under Program M, the Cuesta by the Sea monitoring well, we're finally culminating that project, and we're going to be drilling that hole in the next 2 weeks. So you're gonna see activity. If you drive by that site on Lupin, you'll see a drill rig out there. It is not a production well. If you hear the rumor, we've already heard it. We're not drilling another West Side production well. It's for monitoring only. Got door hangers to the neighbors, and we're gonna hopefully do a two-zone nested monitoring well, looking at both zones D and E, for that. So one of the things that came up at the last meeting, I think it was Director Gibson, is asking for sort of a simplified layperson's discussion of these zones D and E, because they're important for the community to understand. We make sure that Cleve Harris has that in their adaptive management work product that's coming up. They're going to provide that summary. And this will be a key new piece of information to characterize how we're doing there in those two zones. So when we first tried to drill this well in 2003, it collapsed on us. So this time we're going to get it done and get it drilled. So we've been waiting for about 15 years to get back to it. Under Program U, we've got two projects, Creek Discharge, which is the subject of another agenda item, so I won't go into detail there. And I had briefly mentioned that the 8th and El Moro Urban Recovery project now can move forward in terms of discussions with the school now that we've got right of entry at the middle school. And that concludes my verbal report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Bring it back to the board. Are there any questions from the board? Comments? No? Yes, it's good to see the 8th Street well moving forward. I know it's been on the table for a long time, so congratulations on getting that moving. And you'll actually get to see it in place before you leave?
I may, at least out to bid.
Well, we won't let him leave. Following on that, if you don't mind, Mark, new upper aquifer well is going to need denitrification. Does that fit within the existing capacity of denitrifying upper aquifer water?
That's a good question. That one, it's drilled, cased, and tested, and we're actually okay to blend that one without denitrification. Okay. Now, that could change over the years. We all know that as you pump out here, things happen. But at this point, we're good for straight blending with no denite.
And so with the existence of that well finished, are we then able to claim some credit for increased safe yield in the basin? Do we update safe yield, and we know the amount that's worth?
Once we start pumping that well, yes.
Cool. Great. Thanks.
That's okay. Good comment. Just one other area to comment on is in our program, thank you for adding the Creek Discharge program on there. I think that was one of the things we talked about last meeting. One of the things that I wanted to point out, though, is the dollar amount and the comment about funding. It's the comment is specifically funding through BMC, through budget and grants, and just didn't want to misrepresent that dollar figure. That dollar figure, it's you know, has been vetted that. That dollar figure will be funded through the BMC. We're taking this, what I think we've all agreed on is to look at these critical components of the Creek project and identify what these needs are and then take those before the board as they come. So I thought maybe it would be more appropriate to put the $50,000 that we've approved in that spot and reference the $580,000, that this is a bigger project and that the funding for that $580,000 is still yet to be determined.
I think that's a very good comment. In fact, maybe it would be good to add a funding needed and a funding secured type of two-column approach.
Okay, yeah, that would be good too, yeah.
We'll let the minutes reflect that to remind me to do it.
All right, any comments on item 7A from the public? Okay. We'll move to item 7B. Bring it back to Rob.
Thank you. Item 7B is a follow-up to your previously approved budget for Creek Discharge analysis. And just to give the bigger picture, a number of local communities are pursuing Creek Discharge projects that are for the purpose of groundwater recharge. So this acronym GRRP, or GRIP, project, more alphabet soup for the mix, is being used now in the city of Morro Bay, who is pursuing a recharge project to increase their yield from a portion of the groundwater basin that they're involved in the Morro Valley. And then also the city of Pismo Beach, as well as the Five Cities area, are pursuing a creek recharge project in order to increase the yield in their section of the basin. So you have these local projects pursuing the same thing that we're doing. In all those other cases, they are spending serious dollars to reach a feasibility stage for those projects, including some of their own dollars, $500,000 to $1 million to advance those projects. In the past, we've brought technical analysis to explain to the public and the committee the cost of moving this to a feasibility stage. And you know, it's a big chunk of change. Just to do the baseline water quality monitoring is several $100,000. So we've chosen to bite this off in chunks. This contract before you today is a $50,000 chunk. The challenge in Los Osos is that we can't just put reverse osmosis at the end of our treatment train and know that we can meet all the requirements, because we have no place to put the salty brine that comes out of reverse osmosis. So we have to depend on other more natural methods that don't produce a brine in order for this project to actually be viable. One of those methods is soil aquifer treatment. When you put the water in the ground, how much degradation of that carbon in the water that's such a concern to the state and the other microcontaminants, how much degradation of that will occur in that soil column? And that's the subject of this study. It's kind of the next step in the feasibility. If we get poor results here and determine that, yeah, you're going to need reverse osmosis to hit your numbers, then we might have to look for a way to manage that brine long term. But we're hoping that this will show that with physical columns in the soil profile in the creek tested, we'll be able to get some real data piloted and reported and move this project to the next step of feasibility. Not all the way there, but certainly the next step. One of the things that we'd like to ask you to do today, typically what we do is when we bring on a consultant, because you know, you're not an entity, so to speak, to contract with an individual party. We ask the consulting engineer or entity to contract through Brownstein Hyatt. They have all the appropriate contract language, and then their invoices are managed accordingly. So we'd ask you to do the same thing here. One of the challenges on this particular effort, there is a little bit of chicken and the egg, because part of this work scope is to actually do a physical, column of soil from the creek to test it at the treatment plant and set up a methodology to do that. One of their first work items will be to figure out the nuts and bolts of making that happen. And we didn't want to imply, particularly since the county is represented here, I don't think Public Works has shown up, but we don't want to imply that we're just going to show up one day at the treatment plant and ask for desk space for this effort. And we've talked a little bit to county staff about this. So what we'd like you to do today is certainly comment on the scope as a whole, the fee as a whole, but we only really need you to authorize maybe about $5,000 to work out the nuts and bolts with county staff at the treatment plant. And then the November meeting, if that goes well, we think it will, we'll ask you to approve the balance before the test actually gets put into place. That will give us time to make sure we're not stepping on the toes of the operators out there as they have to keep that plant running while we're conducting this relatively small scale but a potentially inconvenient test. So that's what staff would like you to do today. And again, $5,000 would be enough of an initial authorization. Then when we contract with this group, we'll say, you know, your scope's approved, but we want you just to spend $5,000. We'll bring it back to the Basin Management Committee before we bite off the rest of the work. So any questions on that or clarifications that I can offer?
Thank you, Rob. Bring it back to the board for questions and comments.
Just to confirm, then that's a revised staff recommendation, because
it is after talking to county staff.
Okay, got it.
You mentioned that other jurisdictions have projects similar to this, and you made the comment that some of them are spending their own money. That kind of implies that there's grant money that's being spent on some of these projects.
They are getting some grants. They generally get those after they've marched along and shown, hey, it's a feasible project. now you look better for a grant. But just to do the feasibility stage, hard to get money just to determine feasibility.
So we wouldn't be looking at any outside help for the first $500,000?
Yeah. Okay. I think that's okay. That's reality.
Okay.
Others are spending their own money on that step.
Okay.
Thank you, Chuck. So that kind of, just to piggyback on what Chuck was mentioning there, we have this $5,000, and we received a presentation on the big picture there, just in a summary. So let's say that the results of this are favorable. We kind of heard what, if they're not favorable, we got to go back to the drawing board and reconsider. But if they this soil aquifer treatment is successful and favorable, what would be our next step? What do you anticipate? And maybe you can't answer that right now. Maybe that's what we bring back when we approve the bigger scope.
No, I can answer it now. So this $5,000 would be to make sure that the testing protocols and the inconveniences to county staff wouldn't result in, you know, a slightly different scope or a fatal flaw. So $5,000 today, and then when we come back in November, we'll ask you to approve the remaining $45,000 for this work effort.
Mm-hmm.
And as to where, you know, let's say we do this, we do the whole $50,000 worth of scope, we bring it back to you and say, soil aquifer treatment yielded some good positive results. It looks like we are, at least for this step, viable. Then we're going to ask you to consider going to take the next bite out of that $500,000 of baseline monitoring, modeling, locating downgradient wells for tracer studies, all the things that we had outlined for you previously. We're going to have a discussion in the context of our 2020 budget as to what the next steps are and how much you want to bite off for mm-hmm. those next steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think just tying it to our funding, you know, the staff discussions that we're having today, that should be part of that discussion of funding this also, you know, these projects also.
Agreed.
And when can we ultimately get to grant funding, I think is our goal here at the, you know, what we're trying to achieve right now.
Yeah, and on your next agenda item, the new executive director that's proposed does have some recent experience obtaining grant funding for a similar project.
Okay, great.
Let's get him in here.
He's in the audience. So again, after public comment, staff's recommendation is to approve an initial $5,000 scope to be brought back with those results in November.
Okay. I'll open it for public comment.
Thank you again, Jeff Edwards. I do wholeheartedly support the creek discharge project. It's a seasonal discharge. In fact, if it were online, it would have been discharging effluent in the creek the last couple months and certainly through August and September. And I think it'd be a great way to mitigate seawater intrusion, which I think it has a very high high mitigation factor. And I certainly support this baby step and would encourage you to take the full step, hopefully in November, to fund this part of it. Long term, because this is a multi-million-dollar project, or will be, long term, as I mentioned earlier, I think this is a good fit for new development, for future development. There are challenges financing this project by the purveyors. I think that's pretty clear. And so I see the purveyors in this committee's role really to get this project shovel ready, get it ready to go, get it permitted, and I think then you'll be able to fit, you know, the funding mechanism together. There may be some grant funding, but by and large, I think this is a great project for development to contribute to. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Rob?
So I don't know if one of you want to frame the motion, but I can just restate it for you that you would approve initial scope of $5,000 with results to be brought back in the November meeting prior to the next $45,000.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we'll move to item 7C, approve BMC selection of the executive director and review proposed scope of work and fees.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Just to recap for folks who may not be aware, I will be completing my tenure here as interim executive director at the end of this year to be transitioning to volunteer Los Osos resident and looking forward to that. We went through an open selection process, issued a request for qualifications to a number of different potentially qualified consultants and individuals. We ended up receiving four very good proposals and statements of qualification from, and I'll just list them here, from Monsoon Consultants, a firm in San Luis Obispo, from Water Systems Consultants with Dan Heimel as their executive director, from an individual, James Bishop, a geologist with the regional board with a good technical background, who also serves on some of the district's committees, I believe. And then Brad Hageman from Hageman Associates, also, who is currently managing Avila Community Services District. So great field of potential folks interested. It's good, it's always good to see interest in Los Osos, right? We're still interesting to the consulting community. We did conduct interviews for all four candidates, and those occurred in a closed session time in August. While I was present to listen in and facilitate, I didn't actually ask any questions. I just let the directors do all the work there and let it play out. And I could tell you, after some very good interviews, Dan Heimel and WSC was unanimously selected as the most qualified candidate. So always very helpful to have a unanimous selection there in this committee, because that's really the intent, and the stipulation is for such an important position to be a unanimous endorsement. So as a follow-up to that, we did solicit a fee estimate and a scope from WSC, and we did not talk dollars in the interviews, because the process of consultant selection is discuss qualifications. You could do that in a closed session, but then when the dollars come into play, that needs to happen here in open session. So that's the purpose of this discussion. And perhaps so that the community can follow along with me, I'll just tab down here and throw this fee spreadsheet up on the screen. You may not be able to fully see that, but perhaps I'll just enhance your eyes there a little bit. And this will have the bottom line. Okay. So before we launch into this, I did want to acknowledge that Mr. Heimel is in the audience with us today. Dan, if you, there he is. Yeah. You probably figured that out through process of elimination. But thanks for coming, Dan. We appreciate it. And so having fully understood the scope, Dan put together this budget. I can tell you that the level of effort is very similar to what our office is doing right now in terms of hours. You are on a an older billing rate. As I look at how old it is, now I'm wondering how that happened. But it's been great. It's been good. You know, you're about 20% lower than current rates, and that's resulted in a lower cost. Brought to more current rates, to WSC's rates, the annual amount would be just under $70,000. To accomplish all the activities that my office is currently doing, including preparation of the minutes, financial administration, all the things that we're doing. So at least at the staff level, folks have looked at this and understand it. This is obviously not something that will come into play this year. This is an early look as to what will happen for next year, for 2020. What we would like to have you do today is certainly give us any feedback on scope and fee, because as we bring back the 2020 budget, this is going to be hardwired into that budget. So if you do have feedback, we'd like to receive that before the November meeting. And we'd also like, since we're doing good on our annual budget, we have a contingency fund that we haven't touched yet of about $16,000. We'd like you to authorize a $5,000 initial allocation for Dan to be able to shadow me in preparation of the November meeting and get familiar with all the processes that we've developed, so that when January hits, he's on the ground, he's running, and already familiar with how we operate. So what we'd like you to do today is, again, give us any feedback that you have, or you can follow up with that feedback on scope and fee, but do authorize a $5,000 budget using 2019 contingency funds for him to participate with me in November. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you, Rob. Bring it back to the board for comments or questions.
Just, if I might, just to clarify, so this is going to be, again, given our way of contracting with things, this goes through Brownstein Hyatt.
Right.
And are we looking at an agreement yet to be approved? There isn't a specific agreement. There's scope of work and some billing indicate we want to go this way. Are we actually sealing an agreement today?
We just want to have authorization for just an initial scope,
right,
to assist in November.
Okay.
As far
and
as
then,
the full scope for
right.
for next year,
right.
we won't ask for your formal approval of that till we talk budget.
Okay. And then, and the way these are structured, the way you've been operating, is we have budgeted for a certain amount based on an estimate of your time and Wallace Group time, and we pay as we go.
Pay as you
that.
Go.
It's not a lump sum contract.
Not a fixed price, just you only pay for hours at a consulting rate.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
And that's pretty much the same with all our consultant contracts. They're all hourly to a budget.
To a budget, not to exceed without
right.
formal action by the board.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just because you've been interim director so long,
I just can't remember.
That I just can't remember what the structure
and
was.
And you didn't raise your fee structure
yeah.
during that
so
time.
So everything's good. You know?
Cheap, cheap. So just, Chuck, do you have any comments?
No.
Okay. Just to kind of clarify, too, that the line item in our budget is item one under the administration for $50,000 that's currently what we approved today. So moving forward, we can look at a roughly about a $20,000 increase in our budget for 2020.
You are correct.
Yeah. And I think it, you know, what's being asked of us today, it makes sense. And I think it's good practice to bring Dan on and let him get acclimated and you know, working with the board and our situations. I think he's attended a few meetings, but I think working hand in hand with you and understanding it would be helpful for us as board members. So,
we think attending the staff level discussions that happen
right.
would also be important
sure.
Before
yeah.
the next meeting.
Yeah. Okay. At this time, I'll open it up to the public. Seeing no comments, I'll bring it back for a motion.
And I believe the way you'd frame the motion would be to authorize an initial $5,000 expenditure.
So moved. You make it so easy. So moved.
That's what we do.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Welcome aboard, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dan.
Good stuff.
All right. Okay, that includes everything that we have on our agenda. We'll now open it to public comment for items that are not appearing on the agenda.
Thank you, Jeff Edwards. And I wanted to just mention a handful of items that your committee might consider and your new ED might consider for future agenda items. I'd like to go down a short list here. We've already talked about the cannabis and hemp, so I won't dwell on that, but I think that is something, individual projects and larger policy questions about water use for those, I think, should be considered by your body. And related to that is this larger policy question of east and west, in my view, the urban folks, we want to document our water use on this side of the creek, conserve water on this side of the creek, and likewise, the ag folks can do their thing on their side of the creek. And I think that needs to be a line in the sand, if you will, no pun intended. And to use an example, in the Basin Management Plan, there's Program D. Program D are new wells east of the creek. And I think that any new well east of the creek for urban uses is going to draw the ire of the farmers and the farming community. It's the writing's on the wall. So let's draw that line in the sand. They do their thing on their side, we do ours. I think it's important, and I think you need to have that discussion. Sunset Terrace Mutual and Golden State Water. They're on the infrastructure program is an intertie. I think, and it hasn't been done, if something happens to S&T's water supply, they could be in trouble. And so this, I think, the intertie that is on the in the Basin Management Plan is an important consideration, should be on your agenda. Related to that is a larger question of annexation of S&T into the Golden State Water Company system. I don't think S&T has the infrastructure for the long haul. And I think there's the opportunity through a joint discussion and perhaps some contemplation by this committee might help facilitate that. I think it's an important question. The community plan and the EIR that's been released, I think a discussion needs to happen here as to build out growth rates and the scary notion of new development. I think that's a good agenda item. And then lastly, tomorrow the LAFCO meets, and the Morro Bay Wastewater Project, they're creating, a public lot and doing a partial annexation. Morro Bay is in a unique position now. They're creating a recycled water facility. And frankly, they don't have any place to take their water. They don't have storage capability in their basin. We do, however. And I know it's been talked about for decades, some relationship between Morro Bay and Los Osos, but I think now we might have a unique opportunity to look at the possibilities of an intertie, a mutually beneficial intertie between Morro Bay and Los Osos. They have state water, we don't. We have groundwater storage, they don't. So I think it's something that could be worthy of agendizing here. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. Any other members of the public? Sorry. Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Rob,
no specific comments? Mr. Chair. Those were good and helpful comments at the end to wrap us up. So.
Okay. All right. Seeing no other comments, we'll call this meeting to close and adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.